Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
5 minutes past eight in Abuja, 9:05 here in Bonn. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideo. Our main story is this Monday, the 22nd of June. Nigeria's Defense Ministry rejects allegations by Amnesty International that security agents violated the rights of Boko Haram suspects.
There's a lot of fallacy in that report. I only want to say that it is not new. It is consistent with the pattern that Amnesty International has adopted even from the beginning of this operation.
Running for reconciliation, the Kigali Peace Marathon gets underway, but there's much more than just winning the race.
We need to bring many people from all around the world to come here in Rwanda to learn what happened here in 1994, genocide against the Tutsi.
Plus, which way for the Crossroads generation? Stay tuned for the next installment of Learning by Ear radio drama.
Top story.
We begin in Nigeria, where the country's defense ministry has rebuffed accusations of human rights violations. Rights group Amnesty International alleged in a report that at least 8,000 Boko Haram suspects have been tortured or killed while in detention. Our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang, has been speaking to Brigadier General Chris Olukolade, spokesman for the Ministry of Defense, to get their side of the story.
There's a lot of fallacy in that report. I only want to say that it is not new. It is consistent with the pattern that Amnesty International has adopted even from the beginning of this operation. There are a lot of assumptions out there that is meant to satisfy some premeditated agenda against the security of Nigeria. It is good that at this moment, even Nigerians are responding and they know that there's a lot of fallacy in the report of Amnesty. We want to let the world know that contrary to what Amnesty is saying, there has been no allegation that went uninvestigated, even when they are clearly spurious. I think what they are after is they want to have every detail of the nation's strategic and security information. And the times that they have made allegations, like I said, spurious as they appear, they've been investigated. In fact, they have asked questions. They put us under some pressure in the midst of the operation to give them some information. We still did. I want to give an instance that there was a period the Amnesty gave us less than 15 hours to respond to 37 questions, which must get to UK within that period. And we were able to beat that deadline, despite the tricks that were meant to prevent us from beating the deadline. They didn't make reference to such attempts to respond to them. It's just unfair that it appears that they are so desperate to rubbish personalities, to rubbish the Nigerian nation. We believe that time will tell. If the subsequent investigation will definitely prove them wrong.
And so, in terms of fighting insurgency, how do you then protect these human rights?
As a matter of planning, everybody participating in this mission is consciously informed that the basis for the operation in the first place is the need to address and protect the rights of our citizens who are being abused by terrorists. And as such, we will not commit similar offenses or anything meant to degrade our people, as alleged in these reports. Besides that, the training of every officer, right from the rudimentary level up to the operational level, has always incorporated the need and the importance of observance of human rights.
Brigadier General Chris Olukolade, spokesman for Nigeria's Ministry of Defense. Meanwhile, Cameroonian soldiers battling Boko Haram received a boost from over 200 musicians. The artists stage a concert on Sunday to raise money as Cameroon prepares to send more troops to its northern border. As Monkey Kinzeka reports from Yaounde, not all were impressed by the singers' initiative.
These are sound bits from 200 artists gathered here at Cameroon's National Museum in the capital Yaounde in what reggae singer Silva, who is also one of their spokesperson, says is their own support for soldiers from Cameroon, Nigeria, Chad and Niger who are fighting Boko Haram militants.
Pardonne-moi, Seigneur. Par ta miséricorde, par ta main puissante, protège-moi, je reviens à toi.
Les gens vont en guerre avec les armes.
They are fighting with weapons, but we have only our voices, our guitars and our drums to mobilize people against them. I know that it galvanizes all soldiers fighting against terrorism, especially as we are also raising funds to support them. We artists have also been attacked like other people suffering as a result of the insurgency. Please help us contribute for those who give the ultimate sacrifice to save our lives.
Singer Charlotte DiPanda says the event was initially to bring together 100 artists, but for the love of the troops engaging Boko Haram, 100 more turned up. She is proud of the Cameroonian army.
You know that the Cameroonian army is our security. If they are there to defend us against Boko Haram, we should support them. We are supporting our army, and this concern is to show to them that they are not the only ones fighting Boko Haram.
Cameroon's Minister of Culture, Amatutu Muna, says the initiative is one more to raise awareness of the havoc Boko Haram is causing, and is a call to conscience that young Cameroonians should not adhere to their ideology.
It's a spontaneous action that the artists have taken. A group of them came to see me and said to me that they wanted to do something to support the armed forces and also show their sympathy towards that category of people who've been displaced.
That report was compiled by Moki Kinzeka in Yaounde.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
When you enter a marathon race, winning or at least finishing is usually the goal. But in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, runners get together once a year to run for peace and reconciliation after the 1994 genocide. This year, the Kigali International Peace Marathon attracted at least 2,500 athletes from 22 different countries. DW's Daniel Nzohabo Inimana watched the marathon, and his report is now presented by Isaac Mugabe.
On a beautiful Sunday morning, athletes line up at the Amahoro Stadium in Kigali to take part in the Peace Marathon. But this is not your usual marathon. People here don't just want to work out, exercise and stay healthy. They're here to promote peace and spread a message.
Peace is very important, and marathons bring people from all over the country. I've met so many people from all over the world together, and so I think marathons are very important in the peace process.
That's Catherine Wilmore, a 25-year-old teacher from the U.S. who currently lives and works in Uganda. She learned about the marathon on the internet and decided to come over to Kigali with her friends to promote peace. Bringing together people from all over the world to promote mutual understanding is exactly the goal that the Rwanda Athletics Federation had in mind when they came up with the idea to organize the Peace Marathon. Jean-Pierre Ndachayisenga is the technical director of athletics in Rwanda.
We have interest to organize this event because we need to bring many people from all around the world to come here in Rwanda to learn what happened here in 1994, genocide against the Tutsi, and to take a common message of never again.
And it's not just about bringing people together from across the world, but also about encouraging women to take part in the marathon, says 20-year-old Barbara Amisi from Kenya, who's part of the organization team making sure that everything runs smoothly.
Women should be encouraged to participate more. They are coming up, but they are still the numbers of women in sports is still few. Compared to our male counterparts, female, they do participate, but if you compare their numbers, they are very less. So we need to encourage them. You know, as African culture, we view the woman as a household. Her work is in the house, doing household chores. But if parents and guardians are engaged and are taught about the benefits of women participation in sport, they'll allow their children to participate, and we'll see great numbers of women participating.
One woman who traveled to Rwanda from the U.S. to participate in the marathon is 30-year-old health worker Catherine Morgan. She says participating in the event was all about the multicultural experience the marathon provided her.
So I really enjoyed my time here in Kigali Peace Marathon. I think it's a great way to bring together so many different ethnic cultures that's living here in Rwanda. and have us all come together. So personally, I'm taking back this multicultural experience that I have gained through participating at the marathon today. Then also connecting with a lot of the Rwandans who take, you know, running very seriously and having them motivate me while I was running.
And that report was written by Daniel Nzohabonimana in Kigali. We've heard from the musicians earlier on. Now let's give the authors a chance. Quite often, you hear African authors say the reading culture in the continent is low. Readers, on the other hand, complain African literature is too disconnected from its African audience. Now let's meet Teju Cole, a Nigerian author and photographer currently on tour in Germany with his new book, Every Day is for the Thief. My colleague Pinado Abdu asked him how he combines writing and photography as a career.
I think what I'm trying to do is find languages that talk to each other, that I maybe actually draw from the same source, and that source is observing the world around you and really looking for the quiet places in it. So in writing, I write a lot of sort of patient descriptions of the environment, and in photography, it's kind of a descriptive photography. It's not always the most action-packed, but it's like looking very quietly on a scene. And so in that frame of mind, I can do photos, I can do pictures. So they influence that way and that way, each other in that way. And I think that what I learned from the patience that photography requires has taught me a lot about writing.
But in Lagos, like, or Nigeria, the identity is sort of the chaos. Do you think there's a disconnect in, like, education or culture within the people? Or how do you perceive this?
I think Nigeria is actually a very interesting, a very complex space. I think the narrative of that book is talking about how few people read and all of that. But I think more and more people are reading. I think, there's an intellectual space in Nigeria that a lot of people are opening up now. I think in the past 10 years it has opened a lot. So I'm actually feeling much more optimistic about it. But of course, you're still going to have people who are kind of confused about, you know, is a humanist the same as an atheist or whatever it is, you know, or like if somebody is not religious, does that mean they're an evil person? So in Nigerian schools, I think a lot of, well, not a lot, but some wrong information is given. But the main thing is that schools are not very good at teaching you how to be an independent thinker. You have to learn that by yourself. And you won't learn that in an American school or in a Nigerian school or in a German one.
Some authors have seen a lot of argument that people write for the international consumption. So do you think this also influences you?
Not really. You know, I have a lot of Nigerian readers. And when I go there, my audience is as large as this, and I write for them also.
So, but what is your aim when you write? Like,
to find the people who are going to connect with it, regardless of their origin. And so I'm not writing for an international audience. I'm writing for my readers. And many of them are Nigerian. Many of them are American. Many of them are older German people I've never even met. But they read it and they connect to it. And it's amazing that the same thing can connect to a 70-year-old German lady and like a 20-year-old Niger guy in Lagos. That's what literature can do.
Nigerian author Teju Cole speaking to Pinado Abdu. And it's now time for you to sit back and enjoy Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear radio drama production.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there, and welcome to the 10th episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for today.
This is the fourth season of our ongoing drama about the challenges young Africans face. Last time, Sama revealed to Kadu why she has always been guarded about letting him visit her at home.
Your sister? I know you have brothers. You never told me you had a sister.
Well, I do. Her name is Noni.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because my sister is... she's different.
I don't understand. You won't let me see her because she's different. What do you mean?
This is one reason. The other is that Sama's parents insist on keeping Noni in chains. Nevertheless, last time, Sama agreed that Kadu could meet Noni. Meanwhile, Kadu's elder sister Mercy had a row with her husband Nikki and ran away to her friend Tina's. When Nikki came round to apologize and to take Mercy and their daughter Linda home again, she agreed to go with him, but on one condition.
We have to see Councillor Margaret again.
I'm not going.
Then we are not coming with you. It's as simple as that, Nikki.
Okay, fine. I'll go and see Councillor Margaret with you.
Good. We already have an appointment.
Margaret has given Mercy and Nikki support and advice in the past to help them come to terms with Nikki's HIV infection. Today, though, Nikki and Mercy have a very particular topic they want to discuss with the counselor. Let's find out what it is in today's episode. Is it possible? Mercy and Nikki are ready at the counselor's office where they hope they'll get some answers.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Mercy.
Sorry to keep you waiting. I had to see another couple first. Come in. Sit down.
Thanks, Madam Margaret.
Come on, Mercy. I told you last time. Just call me Margaret.
Had to teach an old dog new tricks.
Okay. Let's get down to business. Nikki, Mercy tells me you have some issues you two would like to discuss.
Yeah. Well, no, not really.
How are things at home? Any challenges?
Nothing any normal couple couldn't handle.
Except you're not a normal couple.
What are you implying?
Come on, Nikki. All of us in this room know that you and I are not a normal couple. We're in a very particular situation. That means we can't do things normal couples do.
You see now, Margaret? This is what I have to deal with. I keep being reminded that I'm HIV positive. And then when I complain, I somehow end up as the bad guy.
Oh, great. Are we going to make this an argument? You know, I...
Sorry, if I may ask, what are these things that normal couples, to use your words, do, but you can't, Mercy?
A couple of days ago, my husband here wakes up in the middle of the night and asks me to have sex with him without protection.
Really?
Yes, ask him.
Nikki, is this true?
I didn't...
Stop lying, Nikki. Why are you lying?
Yes, I did ask her to. But I...
Go on, Nikki. Why did you want to have unprotected sex knowing your condition?
Madam, I want a child.
Oh.
We're here. Promise you won't freak out, Kadu.
Why would I freak out, Sama? Don't worry.
Okay, let me open the door. Oh my God, Noni!
What? What is that? What's happening to her?
Quick! Help me pull the bed away before she hits her head. Kadu, what are you doing? Help me, please. Pass me that spoon. I need to put it in her mouth.
I have to go. Banda and I have to catch the bus to town to see our sister Mercy. Bye.
Wait, Kadu. Where are you going? You promised me you wouldn't freak out. Kadu! Oh, great.
I know it's unreasonable, but I really want a child.
But why, Nikki? I thought you'd adopted Linda.
You ask him, Margaret. We knew what we were getting ourselves into when we decided to get married. And he wanted to adopt Linda. I didn't make him do it.
So why do you want another child, Nikki? Is Linda not enough for you?
For the sake of continuity. So that when I die.
Oh, Nikki.
So that when I die, my name, my own child, can carry on my legacy.
Shh, Nikki.
I see. But have you thought about the consequences of having unprotected sex with an uninfected person?
I know. I do know. I'm just too confused right now.
And Mercy, how do you feel about having a child with Nikki?
There's nothing I'd like better. And he knows it. But we know that it's just not possible. I love my husband. I really do. But what if both of us get the virus? Then what?
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
It is?
Really? Someone told me that, but I didn't believe them.
Well, it is. Listen, if you want, I could set up a meeting with a doctor friend of mine, and you could discuss options with her. But in the meantime, please continue to use condoms whenever you have sex, okay?
Okay. Yeah. We have to go now. Thank you for seeing us. I feel better now.
Oh, one other thing. There's a support group for people affected by HIV that I would recommend you both join. It's called the Living Positive Support Group, and it's been very helpful to a lot of couples I know. They meet twice a week in this very building. I can give them a call if you want.
Oh, please do. If it might help us deal with the situation, it's exactly what we need.
My sister, Noni, please, don't do this. Please stop. You're scaring me. Please, Noni, please calm down. This fit has gone on too long. Noni, please. Somebody help me. Help me.
Hello? What's happening in there? Do you need help?
Yes, please help me. My sister's having a fit and it won't stop. It won't.
You open the door.
Just push it. It's open.
Oh, no. Quick, get that spoon out of her mouth. Did you put it there?
Yes. Dad says it stops her from swelling her tongue.
No, that's not true. Take it out. Pass me that pillow to rest her head on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The fit has stopped.
By the way, Manita, what's your name? Where are your parents?
I'm Sama. My parents went to town to look for work, and my brothers come home late from school.
And where's the guy chained to the bed?
Dad says my sister was bewitched.
No, darling. She suffers from an illness called epilepsy.
So she's not bewitched then? Maybe. Does that mean that she can get some help from a doctor?
Yes. You can get medicine to treat it, and there are other kinds of therapy that would help her too. But of course she needs to see a doctor first.
My dad says that he chains her to the bed for her own safety while we're away.
But that's wrong. See how the chains hurt her legs, especially when she's convulsing.
I've told him many times, but he won't listen.
Next time this happens, please don't put anything in her mouth, okay?
Okay.
What's her name?
Noni.
Does she go to school?
No.
What time do your parents get home? I'd like to talk to them.
I don't know, but you can wait here if you want. Thank you so much, Anita.
Ooh, what a piece of luck that Anita was around. Sounds like there might actually be a solution to Noni's problems. What will Noni's father Paolo say when Anita talks to him? There are dark clouds looming, and not just because it's been raining so much lately. Someone's about to find out about Nikki's well-kept secret. Join us next time to hear what's going on. In the meantime, don't forget to visit our website dw.de/LBE or look us up on Facebook. Bye-bye.
Before we bring you a summary of our main stories, just to let you know that our webpage is no longer dw.de, but you can now find us on dw.com. You can access our Africa page by visiting dw.com/Africa. And now a brief reminder of our main stories. The Nigerian Defense Ministry has denied accusations by Amnesty International that security agents tortured and killed Boko Haram detainees. Cameroon is preparing to bolster troops along its borders with neighboring Nigeria and Chad to prevent Boko Haram fighters from entering its territory. And we've been hearing about the Kigali Peace Marathon that takes place annually to provide a reconciliation platform for victims and perpetrators of the Rwandan genocide. Send your comments and suggestions on the program either via text message to country code 491609575950. An email to feedback.africa@dw.com or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Thank you for listening. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Have a wonderful day.